ತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ದ ಯೋಗ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್. ತತ್ ಸರ್ವ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷ್ಯ ಏಕತ್ರ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನ ಅನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭವಯೇತ್ ಮುಖಂ. ತತ್ ಸರ್ವ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷ್ಯಕೃತ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನಾನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭವಯೇನ್ಮುಖಂ. ತತ್ ಸರ್ವ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷ್ಯಕತ್ರ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನಾನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭವಯೇನ್ಮುಖಂ. ತತ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷ್ಯ ಏಕತ್ರ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನಾನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭವಯೇನ್ಮುಖಂ. ಸರ್ವವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭಾವಯೇತ್ ಮುಖಂ. ತತ್ ಸರ್ವ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷೇಕತ್ರ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನಾನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭಾವಯೇತ್ ಮುಖಂ. ತತ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷೇಕತ್ರ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನಾನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭಾವಯೇತ್ ಮುಖಂ. ಲೇಡೀಸ್, ತತ್ಸರ್ವಂ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಆಕರ್ಷೇಕತ್ರ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ನಾನ್ಯಾನಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಭಾವಯೇತ್ ಮುಖಂ. ತತ್ ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ಸರ್ವ ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ವ್ಯಾಪಕಂ ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಡ್ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಕಾನ್ಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಅಕೃಷ್ಯ ಪುಲಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಏಕತ್ರ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಧಾರಯೇತ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಕಾನ್ಸಂಟ್ರೇಟ್ ನ ನಾಟ್ ಅನ್ಯಾನಿ ಅದರ್ ಲಿಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಅಗೇನ್ ಸುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲಿ ಸ್ಮೈಲಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಲಾಫಿಂಗ್ ಭಾವಯೇತ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಕಾನ್ಸಂಟ್ರೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ಮುಖಂ ದ ಫೇಸ್. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: one should then pull the consciousness back from all the limbs of that transcendental body. At that time one should meditate only on the wonderfully smiling face of the Lord. Text 44: tatra labdha padam cittam akrishya vyamani dharayet tachcha chaktyaktva madaroha na kinchidapi chintayet. Being established in meditation on the Lord's face, one should then withdraw the consciousness and fix it in the sky. Then giving up such meditation, one should become established in me and give up the process of meditation altogether. Purport: as one becomes established in pure consciousness. The duality of I am meditating and this is the object of my meditation vanishes, and one comes to the stage of spontaneous relationship with the personality of Godhead. Every living entity is originally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And when that forgotten eternal relationship is revived, one experiences remembrance of the Absolute Truth. In that stage, described here as Mad Aroha, one no longer sees oneself as a meditator, nor the Lord as a mere object of meditation, but rather one enters the spiritual sky for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge and direct loving relationship with the Lord. Uddhava originally inquired about the procedure of meditation for those desiring liberation. The word labdha padam indicates that when one fixes the mind upon the Lord's face, one achieves full liberation. In the post-liberation phase, one then proceeds to render service to the original personality of Godhead. By giving up the concept of being a meditator, one casts off the last small remnant of illusory energy and sees the Lord as He actually is. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are continuing to be blessed to hear the transcendental dialogue between Krishna's dear most friend in Dwarka. It's wonderful that Krishna reveals the highest truths to his best friends. He spoke the Gita to Arjuna, his best friend, also called the Lord is called as Partha Sakhe, and is revealing even more elaborately now, because there is no emergency, there is no fight, there is no stress. It's a friendly dialogue, but based on a relationship of submissive oral reception, asking questions, and the Lord is perfectly answering for Uddhava's benefit and for the benefit of all generations to come thereafter. So again, the best of dialogues is coming between two friends. Goyam akhyati prichhati. So when senior devotees, spiritual masters are asked, when you people meet with your god brothers, what do you discuss? And when two friends who are deeply realized in Krishna consciousness, when they meet, we know what we talk when we meet, right? Prasad mein kya aaj? You know, usually we are on the Annamayi platform, so we start off with basic, what's there for breakfast today, and like that. and maybe some Krishna consciousness here and there. But when great souls meet, the answer was given, they engage in soul searching discussions, right? Everyone is searching for things of this world, right? Good house and property, a good car, a good partner, good food, nice clothes to wear. We are looking for these things, but when great souls meet, they're not searching for these things at all. They've given up that search, but they're still searching, of course. They're searching for Krishna, right? And therefore, they search for Krishna by having soul searching discussions, because Krishna is in the very heart of the soul. So here also they are having this very beautiful dialogue. And just yesterday, we heard something very beautiful, and Krishna is continuing that discussion further. We heard Krishna describing his own self, right? I think that was very wonderful, right? This is describing his own beauty. When he tells about how to meditate on the Lord in the heart, the elaborate, for those who are not here yesterday, I'm going to read that again, right? Because this fascinated me, because, you know, how does it feel to describe your own self? This is my forehead, this is my eyes. But Krishna is, you know, he has no false ego, but describing himself. So, keeping the eyes half closed and fixed on the tip of one's nose. Please hear this carefully, because this is what is the core of the discussion. The chapter is coming to an end in two verses. So Krishna is concluding with something very essential. He's revealing that what is and what should be the object of one's meditation. Right? So, of course, it is not impersonal meditation at all, which is recommended by less intelligent people. As Prabhupada says, those with poor fund of knowledge, they will meditate on a candle or a chakra or a crack in the wall or the joint between two walls, you know, X and Y axis. So then they will meditate on these sort of things, right? Trying hard to control the mind, which is so restless. The purpose is clear, but the methodology is quite inferior and primitive, right? But here, in the most evolved state of bhakti yoga, Krishna is so beautifully, mercifully telling his own dear friend what should he meditate on. So we're going to hear from Krishna how he manifests as the Lord in the heart. And therefore it is very special. Keeping the eyes half closed and fixed on the tip on one's nose, being alignment and alert. So half closed eyes doesn't mean we are sleepy. So it is clarified here, because when we close our eyes half, it has no time to become fully closed. You know, even if you are trying hard to keep them wide open, they still become closed. So what would have, if they are half closed, then matter of next moment they are fully closed. So but Krishna clarifies, even if you are having half closed eyes, you are enlivened and you are alert. You are alert, right? And one should meditate on the lotus flower situated in the heart. Right? So we all of us have an altar in the heart. Right? Krishna is not there when we say he's in the heart, he's not in within the pad of the bloody chamber of left ventricle or right ventricle. He's not there. That is not the heart we're talking about, right? This is not the gross heart with four chambers and four walls. No. Right? This is a subtle existence of the Lord in the region of the heart. Right? And this way beyond just the physical component of heart, where heart is, but in the region of the heart is Krishna, Riddhi Sannimishto. So heart is there, but not in that bloody mess. This lotus has 8 petals and is situated in an erect lotus stalk. One should meditate on the sun, the moon and the fire, placing them one after another within the world of that lotus flower. Placing my transcendental form within the fire, one should meditate upon it as the auspicious goal of all meditation. That form is perfectly proportioned. Every limb is perfect. Right? Everything is perfect. Krishna is the We cannot say the perfection of creation because he was not created. Somebody can say this is the perfection of creation. But Krishna was not created, so we cannot say he is the perfection of creation. But he is personification of perfection. Right? All perfection, whatever we may see, all proceeds from his. He is the wholesome embodiment of all perfection. Therefore, his eyes, his eyebrows, everything has to be just absolutely perfect. Right? So, is perfectly proportioned, gentle and cheerful. That word which is used also today is susmitam. So there is this in this world we have is called as kuntha, right? And that's true. It is not what scripture says is not theoretical at all. All scripture is real and practical. And is it difficult to see this all around us? Everyone is constantly. How many times the word used in today's language? Tension mat kar yaar. Don't have tension. Don't have tension, right? The word tension is used so much in our daily language, right? Today, I don't know. In my tenure of life, I did not hear this word tension so much. 10 years back, daily, this word not used. But in 10 years, in last 10 to 12 years, I can see that this word is used in practically every conversation with somebody else. Somebody is expressing his tension and somebody is saying tension mat kar. And the guy gets more tension out of that, Because he doesn't know, you don't understand what I'm going through. You're just saying tension mat kar, but I'm going crazy with this loans and whatever else, my wife's problem or my mother-in-law's problem or whatever else, my joblessness and everything else, what is going on? There's so much tension in my life. But Krishna is not Kuntha. He's not part of Kuntha. He is part of Vaikuntha Jagat. So Krishna is never in tension. Never in tension. And if he is in tension about saving Arjuna's life from, say, the Kauravas, then it is transcendental anxiety. Right? But it's not like a tension like ours, for his selfishness. It is always anxiety for somebody else, whom he loves. Anxiety for Draupadi, anxiety for saving the Pandavas, anxiety for, doing whatever he's supposed to do to kill the demons and protect the Dwarkavasis, etc. So his anxiety is never selfish. Our anxiety is for ourselves most of the time. Or for those who are connected to us in that I and me concept. Right? But Krishna is always susmitam, always in a natural state, always smiling. Right? So we like to see people who are smiling, is it not? People who have a smiling face, they are very attractive. Even in this world, people who are, he has a nice smile. We say sometimes, right? Or she has a nice smile, or he has a nice smile. People who have a nice smile are always people who are more somebody who are more, attractive to look at. And somebody says, and you see somebody and say, castor oil piya hai kya? Right? So, when you take castor oil, some Ayurvedic doctors will recommend the castor oil for bowel care, right? It's just a horrible taste, right? But Krishna is always susmitam, always smiling. Therefore, we like to see him. Because it is said Krishna's smile is so powerful that he has the power, if he meditated on that smile, to eradicate an ocean of tears. If somebody is so sorrowful in his life that he has shed a practical ocean of tears out of misery, and that can happen sometimes. Not literally an ocean, but one can really cry over something very horrible happened in his life. But if somebody meditates on Krishna, on a smile, it is so powerful that there is a deep sense of solace. Therefore, you will see the deities' faces are always painted with a smiling face. Right? And you love to see those deities. You go to, for example, years ago we had gone with Radhana Swami to Eka Chakra. 1986. It was such a beautiful experience. And for the first time, that time Eka Chakra was not even so much frequented by ISKCON devotees. It was sort of not in the map of, it's a little far from Mayapur, 7 hours drive, etc. But then we beheld the deities of Bankim Rai, Vashval Ishtadev of Lord Nityananda. He has such a beautiful smile. You people remember? You remember his face? How many of you remember Vanki Marai's face? You know, not so much, right? But next time you go to this, the form, you can see, you know, any of her pictures. But he has a beautiful, beautiful smile. Very nice. He is having a small topi and a nice smile. And he's really bent, banke. He's really banke. He's really bent in three places beautifully. Little extra bend is there. More than a normal bend. So a very nice smile. So that, and because the smile was so beautiful, even after so many years, I'm remembering him. And if someone were to ask me, which are the most beautiful deities of, in terms of the smile, I would probably say Vanki Marai is the first. His smile is really captivating. So Krishna is susmitam, susmitam, and therefore we should come in front of him, and so that even whatever anxieties we have, stresses we have, problems we have, just by coming to the Lord and seeing his face, his beautiful face, we feel, oh, it's not so bad. Your heart gets soothed. It's very soothing. It possesses four beautiful long arms, a charming, beautiful neck, a handsome forehead, pure smile and glowing shark-shaped earrings suspended by two identical ears. So he has earrings also. But they are shark-shaped. I don't know why they are shark-shaped, but they are shark-shaped. There must be some reason why Krishna likes Makara Kundala. That's, you see, this matches with, when we hear Bhagavatam, it doesn't, you know, we don't see Tukaram Maharaj saying something else. Right? So, you know, they are seeing the same person. You know, so everything matches. It is not that, oh yeah, then something else, right? So what Acharya says in the Bhagavatam, what is said in the Bhagavatam so many thousands of years ago, what Tukaram Maharaj saw just 450 years ago. Right? Makara Kundala Kasipitambara. Right? So, that spiritual form is a color of dark rain cloud, and is garbed in golden yellowish silk. Right? That is what we call as Pitambara. This is Krishna's favorite dhoti color. Right? You know. And it may appear that, does he wear the same dhoti every day? But it's like, do we chant the same mantra every day? But within that one mantra, that's infinite glory. Right? Is it not true? The pure devotees are crying. Why don't I have more tongues? Why don't I have more ears? Because they cannot accommodate sufficiently the nectar emanating, oozing out from one name of Krishna. So the material mind appears Krishna. Krishna. Two syllables. How can there be so much of, I mean, what's there so much in it, right? But we're looking very, very mundanely. So even though we may say Krishna is always wearing the same type of dhoti, there is infinite glory, infinite beauty in the same fabric of Krishna's color. Infinite beauty in the same color. For us, we have to wear a different dress to feel beautiful. I could have a black pant and a grey pant or a blue pant or a white pant, whatever. I have to change that. I cannot feel infinite pleasure in wearing the same cloth every day. Right? But Krishna can feel infinite pleasure in the same cloth. Why? Because of the manifestation of Balaramji Maharaj. Right? His expansion of Balaramji, who is serving with infinite love in the form of his dress. Right? So it's not just a fabric, like our fabric of this world, made in a factory or a mill. It's transformation of Balaramji's love in the form of his Brahmin thread, his crown, his bracelets, his anklets, of course his nice dress. How much Balaram loves Krishna? Is there any calculation? No. Infinite. So there is infinite beauty in that yellowish garment of silk cloth. That is Krishna. Right? Krishna is never static. Nothing in Krishna consciousness is static. It may be the same dress, the same leela, the same mantra, right? The same deity, but within that apparent oneness is infinity. It's one, but infinity in that one. It's mathematically not possible to understand this. Right? It cannot be explained by the mundane mind. How can there be something one and infinity in that one? But that is Krishna. He's Purna in that one. The chest of that form is the abode of Sri Vatsa and the goddess of fortune. And the form is also decorated with the conch shell, disc, club, lotus flower and the garland of forest flowers. The two brilliant lotus feet are decorated with ankle bells and bracelets, and that form exhibits the Kaustubha gem along with an effulgent crown. The upper hips are beautified by a golden belt, and the arms are decorated with valuable bracelets. All of the limbs of the beautiful form capture the heart. That is the point. This is the real point, right? That why is he the way he is? Because his beauty has the power to capture our heart. Capture. Capture means you are conquered. When you are conquered, you say, I am captured. Now, when you are overpowered by something, you say, I am captured. As a prisoner, you put, you know, I am captured. You cannot free yourself, right? So you are not just influenced, you are not just affected, you are not just impacted, but you are captured, right? So Krishna has a beauty which captures people's consciousness. And that's very powerful, right? And once you get conquered by that beauty, you cannot escape. Don't go to Keshi Ghat. Don't go to Keshi Ghat. Because if you happen to see once that form of the Lord playing the flute on the bank of the Keshi Ghat, you will destroy your material life and never find anything attractive in this world. Don't go there. Rupa Goswami warns us to do that. It's a positive way of glorifying Krishna. Right? Because if you see him, you get what? You get captured. And we are waiting for that day. When will that day? When will that day come when actually we will get captured by Krishna's beauty? Right? We are waiting for that day to experience even a small fragmental molecule, atomic fraction of his beauty. Right? Krishna is so beautiful. He is just so beautiful. Right? He is just absolutely beautiful person. All the limbs of that beautiful form capture the heart, and the face is beautified by merciful glancing. So in this way, this form is described. And this is Krishna describing his own form. Then this is the cover page. The lotus is there. Right? This is the way you should meditate on the Lord. So, as far as we are concerned in the school of Bhakti Yoga that we follow under Prabhupada's direction, for us that meditation on the Lord's form is largely given to us as a process by meditating on the Lord's deity form. We don't find ourselves training ourselves sitting like that and, you know, closing our eyes and, you know, looking at the Muladhara Chakra and this and that and then going on the heart. We don't find that we're doing that so much, right? Maybe the pure devotees can access that form of the Lord also. But for sadhakas like ourselves, that same process which is explained here transforms into a more realistic, tangible and viable way by meditating on the Lord's deity form. And therefore it's absolutely essential philosophically and practically to understand that there is no difference between the Lord in the heart and the deity form in the temple. That absolute connection of oneness between the two forms has to be clearly accepted within the heart with Shraddha. That since I cannot see the Lord in the heart, if I just close my eyes and do that, I will probably fall asleep or, you know, start thinking of all sorts of crazy things. No, I cannot access the Lord in the heart. So then the merciful Lord and the Acharyas gave us a deity through the Pancharatrika Vidhi. So you meditate on the form of the Lord, then when you're bathing him, meditating on his lotus feet, you're putting the ankle bells, meditating on his lotus feet, you're putting a tulsi and chandan, meditating on his lotus feet, right? You're putting a necklace around him, you're meditating on his chest, you're putting a nice sash around his waist, you're meditating on that part of the Lord, right? And you put earrings, you're meditating on the Lord's ears, and you paint the Lord's form. Like you see, you know, Giridhari ji today is Gopal ji is, you know, one of our devotees has painted him so nicely. And then, you know, Vrindavan, our Haridas Prabhu and others, all expert painters, they spend so much of time with love, devotion, paint and brush, paint. So the meditating on the Lord, so it makes even the Lord's face even more beautiful, right? The intricacy of all the petals and all the paint and the color, etc. Right? You go to Vrindavan, that is something which is so beautiful to see. when the deity is a black colored form, then you can paint like that, right? So in this way, we are expected to focus our attention very deeply when we see the deity of the Lord. It's unfortunate sometimes that we don't appreciate Krishna's presence in front of us in a deity form so well. It is unfortunate sometimes that we just come and because we are our bhakti may be oftentimes tinged with a mechanistic approach, right? So you offer obeisance, you stand up, offer, you know, say pranam mantra and look at the deity form and then you go to the next thing. But it would be so nice if you could, you know, allow the word is ekatra. The word ekatra is used. What is ekatra? It means to collect, to bring to focus. Ekatra is same as ekagrata. Ekatra, ekagrata is the same word, right? So when you look at the form of the Lord, right, you of course start with the lotus feet. We're supposed to collect the consciousness from all its diverse distractions and ekagra chitta banke. Look at the forms of Lord's lotus feet and then in this way, actually, gradually, if we do that as a regular practice of looking at the Lord's feet with love and devotion and offering gentle, nice, good prayers. If we can offer those prayers, right? There was a competition years ago in presence of Ramanujacharya when he was in South India. A competition, you know, devotional competition, not like, you know, boxing, fighting like that. Devotional competition. Who can write the maximum verses glorifying Krishna's lotus feet? Right? So all the mahans and all the great people came to, you know, they were writing elaborate Sanskrit poetry describing Lord's Ranganath Swami's lotus feet. Ranganath is the, you know, one of the most prominent Ishtadevas of the Sri Sampradaya Vaishnavas. And who won the match? Ramanujacharya. He wrote 1,000 verses glorifying the Lord's lotus feet. Can you imagine? What realization? Only 2 feet, 5 fingers each, 5 toes each, and 2 heels, and you know, and it's whatever, the Lord's whatever we see, the form. But the heart is filled with love. It doesn't see just the physical form of that. It exudes with so much of poetry came out from his heart. 1,000 verses glorifying the Lord's feet. So that's the power in the feet of the Lord. And therefore the Lord always, when the Lord sleeps, we have seen the Lord's hand is like this. He sleeps like that and his hand is like this. So he's telling us, we are told that mudra, everything has, why the mudra, why the Lord does something is very special. So his hand is like this, that you meditate, you guys, you people, you devotees, my dears, children, you meditate on this part of me. So his hand is like that, his hand is like this, and he's pointing towards his feet. He said, this part is most important for you. Right? So, yes. So by meditating on the Lord's feet, so much power, so much potency is there. Therefore, we could be a little more benefited if you extend our darshan and actually see gradually the Lord's form. And the devotees make so much of labor in putting that belt, putting that sash around, the kamar patta, and all. You know, the devotees make so much of pain to do that. Even appreciating that the pujari's, you know, devotional endeavor, the cloth, I mean the type of endeavor it takes to make that cloth, stitch that cloth and make that dress. You know, we just take it for granted. Oh, somebody did the dress and somebody put up the dress and somebody put the jewelry. It's over. You know, but it takes months to make a dress. It takes months and months of devotees designing and making a dress. To appreciate the dress, the form, the necklace, etc. Right? So this is what happens by doing that. We feel a deeper sense of connection. This is called as yoga. This is real yoga. We're connecting to the Lord through our eyes. And through the eyes by offering prayers through our heart. Right? So we can connect to the Lord like that. To see. Huh? That's why we go to different places. Why are we just not satisfied looking at Gopinath? Gopinath is around, but we still go to see Sham Sundar, we go to see, you know, Vrindavan Chandra, we go to see, you know, Banke Bihari, we go to see, we go to so many, ISKCON devotees go to so many temples. Why? Because they want to relish the same Lord coming in different, Advaitma Chitmanadim Ananta Rupam, he's our Ananta Rupa, the same Krishna, Ananta Rupa he has got. Yes, he comes as Jagannath Puri, he goes as Jagannath. How much was the Lord relish in that? When look at when we're supposed to follow in Lord's footsteps, talking about meditating on the Lord, we come to the temple of the Lord and offer prayers, and maybe in 5 minutes we are done, right? But Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was standing at the Garuda Stambha, right, for hours together. I mean, we sometimes, you know, push the pujaris push us, you know, in Jagannath Puri, chalo chalo chalo, like that. But even if you were out to stand here for 5 hours, would we stand there and for 5 hours? Pujaris said, okay, you allow him 5 hours, stand here only for 5 hours. We think it's like a punishment. I want to go and take prasad now. Time for prasad. Right? Not only you stand here and offer prayers 5 hours. Our heart will, you know, you cannot do that. You know, even if allowed to stand there for a long time, the heart is so shallow with realization. And there is that we require more depth for that. So much more depth of realization to stand from the Lord like Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, hours and hours and hours and hours and never getting satiated. I mean, he cannot see that form, he just gets so upset, he goes to Alal Nath. So upset he can't see the Lord. What? Can't stay in this place. And they're haunted by the Lord's beauty. I will go in Alal Nath and stay. That is the type of attraction which the Lord had for Lord Jagannath. Right? He was captured by Jagannath's beauty. Mahaprabhu was captured completely by the Lord's beauty. Right? It was impossible to stay for 15 days without seeing the Lord. So these are the exalted states we are looking at. Right? But it at least starts with at least offering few more minutes of prayer and seeing the Lord's form. Now the next step, of course, is that when you're not in the temple, we talked about the Lord's form in the heart, and we brought him to the level of discussion where we see in the form of the deity. But you cannot be in the temple all the time. The brahmacharis may be a little more time, grahasthas even less time. Then what about that? So then we go even further. Acharyas, even a further process. You can meditate on the Lord's name. On the name. The name is not different from the deity, and the deity is not different from the Lord in the heart, and the form of the Lord in the heart is not different from the original Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. So, like Prabhupada was saying today during the morning class, he was saying that this name is imported. Prabhupada says the word imported. Because Narayana Das Thakur says Goloka, Harinama Sankirtana. It's come from Goloka Vrindavan. So, imported, Prabhupada said the word. Right? That means the holy name is not a part of the material world. It is not that material sound, Krishna, K-R. It's not an alphabet, K-R. It looks like material, right? We can put it into a name, K-R-I. But it is not mundane. It is not mundane. Right? It is transcendental. There are only two things in this world which come from the spiritual world in this world. Everything here is an exhibition of the illusory potency of Maya. Everything. All that we see in the 14 worlds and in unlimited universes is all a fantastic, powerful creation of the illusory potency. Everything consisting of 26 elements as analyzed by Sankhya Yoga people. Right? But there are only two things in this world which are so special, which are not derived from this world. They have come from the eternal world, the Nitya Jagat, Parampadam, and they come here too. Therefore, they are most worshipable. This is the realization of Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. What are those two powerful things? And they are coming here for only one purpose. For giving people of this world complete shelter. People in this world are shelterless. There is no shelter. What are the two things? The holy name and the Nitya Siddha devotees of the Lord. They are coming here. People like Srila Prabhupada, people like Thakur Narottam Das, the six Goswamis, etc., all our Parampara Acharyas, they are not a part of the Sadhana Siddha group. They are Nitya Siddha group. Right? So they have descended, and now along with who is descended? Nam. Purna Brahma.
Nam is Purna Brahma. Complete Brahma. Right? So these two are descended here. And if you just take shelter of the Lord's pure devotees, the shelter of the Lord's holy name, it's a perfect process. You don't have to go anything beyond these two things. Chant Hare Krishna mantra and serve those devotees who instruct you. That is the summum bonum, the crystallized essence of all the scriptures which were ever written or will be ever written in the entire creation. And nothing beyond this. There's just nothing beyond. In the millions of shlokas ever composed, also ever written by Srila Vyasadeva, there will be nothing beyond these two things. What is that? Follow the instructions of those pure devotees who come from the spiritual world into this world to guide, to give shelter, to give the example. And number two, shelter of the Lord's powerful holy names. These two are powerful enough to give shelter to the entire creation. So this is our ashray. Krishna is called as Ashray Vigraha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Namashraya Kori Jyotana Tumi Takhan Apana Kaje. Right? So by just doing Nama Ashraya and Guru Pada Ashraya, everything is complete. Everything is complete in just two things. Sri Guru Pada Ashraya and Sri Nama Ashraya. So the more and more our heart evolves, heart has to evolve. The heart evolve means the consciousness has to evolve. That's the only thing which evolves. The bodies don't evolve as per nonsensical Darwinian theory. The bodies don't evolve from one to the next. Only consciousness evolves. Bodies cannot evolve. Bodies are all designed, fixed structures by Brahma. No mutation, all this nonsense, not there. Right? So the consciousness evolves. But consciousness evolves also in one life. It is not that from one life to the next to go to the higher. You can evolve in one body and keep on evolving in that body. In one birth, you can evolve so much. Right? You are born with X consciousness, light here, Kalashuddha Sambhava. But you can evolve to Brahmana. You can evolve to Vaishnava. You can evolve to Param Vaishnava. You can evolve to Paramhamsa in one life. Consciousness can evolve. Right? So, in our evolution, we would like to read, we would like to discuss, we would like to talk about, hear, all those things, do, all those things which increase our Shraddha in Nama Ashraya and Sri Guru Pada Ashraya. Whatever association we talk about, whatever we're talking about, all the literature we read, if we can just be focused, is this going to help me in increase my Shraddha to the Naam or to Sri Gurudev? Then that association is most desirable. That literature is most desirable to read and to distribute. Right? So, on today's wonderful day, let us meditate on these essential truths which are revealed from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and pray that we may have ever-increasing faith, commitment to follow this process which we've been so much blessed by our spiritual masters. Right? It is so rare to reach these conclusions. Right? It is not easy to reach this conclusion what Bhagavatam is so effortlessly giving out, because by and large everyone is manda sumanda matavya madha bhagya bhuta upadrataha. Being manda bhagya, everyone is just here and there, they don't know what they're doing. Even in spiritual circles, they're all completely confused. Right? In the name of spirituality, doing all sorts of things. You know? But for us, it is such a clear message coming out loud and clear from the pages of Bhagavatam, from our spiritual masters. So with unlimited gratitude to them, let us rededicate ourselves on today's auspicious day. You know what the day is today. Rededicate ourselves to the auspiciousness of what we all have received from our beloved spiritual masters. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.